Hello and welcome to the Tiny Plastic People podcast. This is a special podcast in this case, where we do something we've not really done before. In the middle of 2022, James and myself decided that we wanted to run another one of our less standard wargaming events, and decided also to record something of a little podcast documentary about it. This is That Story. So, starting at the very beginning, in June 2022, we really kind of set off on this journey. And in this episode, we discuss the initial sort of gathering of information, the building of a team who would actually deliver the actual kind of concept that we were coming up with, and also sort of how we managed that. So with no further ado, episode one. Maybe you can kiss the shopkeeper. Good evening, James.
Hello.
We're here to talk about stuff.
We are.
It's going to be a bit of a woolly one, probably, because this is the very first step on the journey.
Yeah, it's not even a session zero.
No. We've done a podcast on, or related to this in the past. We've done a Ink 28 podcast quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And the only Ink 28 game we ran was just before the world shut down for 2 years.
Yeah, we'd be on pause.
So, yeah, we'd had ideas about doing something else, and now the world's sort of happening again. I think we are going to do something, aren't we?
That's the plan.
So, we've started to kind of scratch around with ideas. And yeah, we just thought we'd document this as we went through, and hopefully that'll be of interest to people.
Yeah.
So it's pretty early doors, isn't it? Do you want to sort of say where we're at, roughly, then?
Sure thing. So I'll go back a little bit from like the right early doors. Was coming off. I don't know whether we will actually have recorded the podcast about it yet, or that it's been released. It depends on time, but we went to a mega game in London in, I guess, let's date this, in June 2022. Mm-hmm. And coming off that, I was really feeling quite inspired about the prospect of big games with big narrative, but just like stuff that happens that's fun. And I was also thinking a lot about, like, I think since Ash Wastes came out as well for Necromunda, people had been talking about, oh, wouldn't it be great to do like something fun with these rules and things. So the general consensus, there was like this like almost like pressure cooker building of like, we should just do another Ink 28 event. I think we talked about it when we played Heresy the other few weeks back as well. Old Heresy, mind you, let's date it even more.
Yep.
So we'd kind of started like mooting it about, and then after that event I was kind of like, sod it, let's just put a message into our Discord and see who is interested and how to do it. And I think the best way for doing anything like that is to actually get people involved with thinking about what they want to do. So I did it in form of a survey, and that is going to become a very repetitive word, the word survey, because I will use surveys for everything if I can't decide on something or I don't want to decide on something. So yeah, we put out a first survey to get some interest in the event, and lots of people filled out that survey and said they were interested. Not just that they were interested, they were also interested in helping out, which is really good, because the more people who help out, the more chance you actually have to succeed in doing something incredibly silly.
Yep. And the more hair that you might have left by the end of it as well.
Exactly.
Which is the,
I do value my hair, so.
And I think sort of coming off that survey, it's looking like we probably won't actually be doing an Ink 28 event. We're going to be doing something a bit different.
Yeah. So the general idea I kind of wanted to get the feeling for was like, we've actually got in our little community. We have the Role Models Discord, which you can find linked to in someplace probably on tinyplasticpeople.com if you wanted to join us there, is kind of like where we gather. But there's actually quite a really nice split between people who like 40K, people who like AOS, and people who like lots of different rule sets and things like that. So getting consensus is one difficult, but also getting consensus to the point of like acceptable consensus, I guess, where most people are probably interested in 40K to some extent, but some people favor AOS. So I really wanted to, with the first survey, kind of get a feel for that. Like, where would you want it set? Do you want us to like homebrew the whole thing? Do you want us to do you want an event which is in AOS instead of Inc. 28? Even though that's going to be a load more work. Yeah.
Hold that thought for, I don't know, section number four, probably. Guess when we hit the big crunch when it comes to sorting the rule set out.
Yeah, that was the thing which also came out of the first survey which we ran, was, oh, Jesus, this is going to be quite big if we actually pull it off. But also, what's the risk, really?
Yeah. we've given ourselves quite a lot of time as well, that we're looking into 2023 before we put models on the table, which hopefully is sensible. I don't think I have many other really big plans for the back half of the year. I already thought I probably wouldn't be doing Armies on Parade, just because I don't see it as a good value proposition of like my time. Having something to focus on is going to be nice, and hopefully, yeah, if we've got people, a team of creative people working on things, we could do quite a lot with that, which will be nice.
Yeah, and I guess that was the other opportunity which we had from running quite a long but hopefully insightful survey about, like, if you wanted to help us, what did you actually want to help us with, and what sort of lengths do you want us to go for, what kind of flavor of event would you be interested in? Because being community driven, it is like, it's trying to be driven by the community that you're part of. It helps people feel involved. Obviously, some people do just want to turn up to a fun event and experience something, but other people do want to contribute things, and that is something which should really be welcomed. And 10 heads are generally better than one head or two heads. So like, yeah, last time we ran an event, it was pretty much me and you running the show and assembling everything and getting it all out, and it turns out that's a lot of work.
Yeah, my partner, who doesn't do wargaming, got roped into painting resin onto expanded foam scenery whilst I was at work, because she worked at home, and it means it's very convenient to someone who can paint resin onto foam scenery for you. And I think she would probably appreciate not having to do that every time I get a crazy idea to do something.
Exactly. No one deserves to paint resin, basically. Apart from if you volunteered for it and said you would do it, and then we would expect you to do it.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess where we're at right now with the process is, and I think we could be quite candid about the process on these podcasts. I don't know how far along the line we will be, whether we've actually done the event and this is, you know, this is just Pride Before the Fall. But by like asking some questions to our community, we talked about like the scale of what kind of event, and I tried to write surveys in a way which is fun to answer questions as well, which kind of confuses me as well, because I accidentally put three times within the same survey, "Do you want to help?" which meant that then polling the people who said they wanted to help came under different contexts. So writing the next bit of the survey, which was like, okay, you said you would help, actually was quite hard to like find everyone who had actually said that and in what context it was. So I kind of missed out the people who said they just wanted to bring terrain and they just wanted to bring models and things, because I think that until we know what kind of setting which we've got going on, that's pointless. Why do you want to? But the main thing which we want to get to at this point is kind of the back of the book sort of flavor text for the whole event.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And the way which a crowdsourcing affair to do that is probably the nicest way of approaching it. So the plan at the moment is to pitch everyone who said they wanted to help, particularly if they said narratively, but also like whatever they wanted to do, and to ask them to just essentially deliver us four or five prompts. That prompt shouldn't have any setting or too much setting information, like no names, no like proper nouns or anything. I know it's AOS at the moment, but that kind of came from the first survey. But beyond that, like if we do need to pivot to 40k or something, there's still the opportunity to do that at this stage. But the writing prompts were just like, give us some like flavor. And do you have a favorite, Drew? Is there one which you wanted to read out at this point? We probably won't have done it. So
I don't think I've looked at them enough to pick any ones out, because I was only just skipping through the survey responses now. There's a lot of things that look good, and I think that's one of the things I have liked to see, is that people have come at it from a very different way. You know, some people have been very literal in their kind of setting suggestions. Mm. You know, it is town X and there's something going on. And other people have gone for like a much more ephemeral, I suppose, a lot more kind of open-ended sort of abstract idea. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting. It'll be interesting to see how people pick those up. And to some degree projecting here, I wouldn't be surprised if when we start to kind of mention these things to people or see what people, you know, what sparks with people, that we don't end up actually making a kind of composite of a couple of them, and we'll end up with a kind of, I don't know, a marvelous pizza of ideas.
I mean, I've eaten a marvelous pizza tonight, so that's pretty much where I'm at as well. But yeah, to give you an idea of the flavor of a few of them, like this is one of them which just says, down they delve deeper and further, plumbing the abyss. Their purpose is singular, united in goal and yet divided in motive. They forge and break alliances more readily than swarming rats, always focused on the ultimate prize. But as swiftly as greed dives, hunger rises to meet it. That's a perfect prompt, which is exactly what we were looking for. To me, anyway. Maybe you hate it.
No, I like that. I mean, I think I like them all. I mean, yeah. Unless there's some hidden ones that are really awful.
I will read out one of my other favourites, which is Captain Mittens is displeased. The ruler of Muserina may appear to be just a house cat, but her wickle wee whims dictate the lives and the fates of thousands. Will you be the one to save the people from their fickle ruler, or will you try to seize power for yourself?
Can't trust the fur bastards. Everyone exactly. knows that.
But yeah, and what I have done with these of it, like as I said, removing proper nouns and things like that. So I will go through them and basically remove some of those. And I guess the last thing, where we're at now is essentially like you said, we would like the community who's involved in the event to vote. Or like at least express a preference for which of these they like. And that is essentially not saying that it's bad, but it's kind of saying this doesn't vibe with me and this does vibe with me. How much? 1 to 6. So you can't say it's in the middle. So
yeah. Or yeah, I was even thinking about this the other day and it was like how we were finding the ideas, you know, whether it's score your top 4 and then anyway, this is the how to write a survey podcast is probably a different
well, you know, that's how events start. You need to know what you're doing, where you're doing it, and like I said at the beginning, the best way to, or personally I find the best way to involve people in these things is to involve people in them as a community. And
yes,
like people appreciate, in my experience, I've got to keep saying that because it is kind of my viewpoint on things rather than cold hard factual truth, which none of this is, is that like it's almost like a rubber band sort of thing. You give people space to work and it expands out, but you need things to kind of bring it back in every so often, and that's where you build your team, is the people who bring it back in and then deliver on something.
Yeah,
put it back out to let people expand what they think the narrative should be, and then what the shape of the event will actually look like is the combination of that kind of springy effect.
And, yes,
hopefully it's good.
I mean, certainly the last event we ran was, I mean, COVID was just kicking off, which helped it be smaller. Yeah. Okay, we lost people on the day, but was it, how many were there? 10 people, 12 people?
Yeah, I think we had still a fair number of people.
And they obviously contributed quite a lot, but this time around we're looking at potentially quite a bit more numbers wise, so it will be interesting, and it will definitely be a challenge from that point of view.
Yeah, and that's where I'm quite excited that quite a few people have already responded to the fact that they want to GM the like things and do a bit more like games mastering, DMing style things during the event. And I'm already thinking, with the numbers of people we've got involved, that we might actually have to enforce structures on people, because last time it was just like, okay, you've arrived, okay, right, we've put our gangs on the table, I guess, and we'll just play it out. I'm already feeling that it might be like, arrive at 10 for the briefing.
Yeah,
and
I think you're probably right there. And particularly, you know, you're saying you're inspired by the mega game you'd been to recently, and I've done mega games in the past. To have that kind of away from the table interaction, which I think is nice. I don't want to call it sort of role play, but I don't know, role play, small art, you know, making deals and sort of maybe doing a bit more than just rolling dice and just doing stuff on the table. I think, yeah, you need to structure that in a certain way to give people time to think about it.
And also, I think at the stage we're at right now, it's really important to like kind of rein in your excitement, because there's going to be a lot more excitement like to come, and like more ideas are going to like come out. So like scope and things, like I feel like right now, like with just what I've got, I could just write the whole thing and go ahead, but I'd also burn myself out and deliver something which is probably not what would actually work. It would just be a big blob of stuff. Like I've got thoughts around like, okay, we've got loads of people, but like they could move around a map, we could have a map, and we could have people moving around the map, and when they touch, that's when they actually have an encounter on one of the boards. How many boards? 10 20? I don't know, but that's exciting. And there's a shop, and you can go to the shopkeeper, and you might be able to kiss the shopkeeper if you like.
There's so much potential. I mean, to talk about sort of my sort of personal experience, and, you know, maybe it's a bit of a sort of, I don't know, it's not a tutorial, but I've run a lot of LARPs. I've spent a long, long time running either LARPs for other people or running LARPs, you know, my own systems and things. And one of the things, and you talk about burning out, is what reminded me, is one of the things that I realised sort of halfway through that process is that you really have to value appraise what you are doing, and at the end of the day you're providing something for everyone. And if you're doing things that are only really good for one person, are you actually providing a value to yourself and also to everyone else? So yeah, you know, it's like James was saying there as well, that you have to sort of have these gateway reviews where you're pulling things back together and make sure that things aren't getting too broad, to make sure that you're actually you're producing a good product at the end of the day.
Yeah, and that's why we're not even thinking about like it. We are thinking about, but we're also just capturing just like little bits of ideas, like scribble a note. And just to also pull back the curtain slightly further, revealing more of our horrible naked flesh, is that we're using, well, I started using, and then I just kind of forced Drew into using Notion to organize our thoughts and kind of organize the whole process of what we're doing as well. So
I'm a Notion user already as well. When Trello started to be under powerful for what I needed, I moved into Notion. Is this just going to be a project management podcast in the guise of a wargaming podcast?
I guess it is. I think that's kind of, I would listen to it. I'm listening to it now and I'm enjoying it. And I'm enjoying talking about it. So I'm just going to follow my whims. But Notion is just, essentially, if you don't know what Notion is, it's kind of like you can just build a wiki very quickly about anything you're doing, and you can move the pages around very fast. So you can just drag drop pages, you can copy and paste things, you can link stuff, you can add pictures, but it's really flexible. And as soon as you've given someone else the access rights to that thing, they can also start contributing and adding pages to that. So it's already like captured a lot of the stuff, and it's also captured a bit of the thinking, and also it keeps a record. Well, I use it in a way to keep the record of like what we've said to people and like what were the results of that survey.
Yeah.
So one thing which I'm very nervous about, because you know it is a project management thing, is that we are going to involve other people with this, and they're going to get access to this, and like then it starts coming out of your hands. And if you're a controlling person, which I can be, I understand this about myself, that you are then like opening it up a lot more. But we're going to do that, and that's going to be exciting. We've got things in there already about like, okay, we need to capture modeling guides for people, we need to capture scenario ideas, just some inspirational links, just copy and paste them into here. Here's all the starter paragraphs everyone gave us. Venues, locations, like which we can research, and then slowly that can, you can imagine that would become the place where the rules get written and refined before we actually start printing anything. And what, like, if you're taking a rule from somewhere, you can log it like, oh, that's from old Necromunda 95, and you can write the page references and stuff next to it. With the main, it was like, what if I get bored, or what if something horrible happens to me? Then this event can still carry on and be done. And the same for you, Drew. What if something horrible happens to you, Drew?
Yes. Yes. That is, I mean, it's certainly happened in the past that you get sent to funny places in the world and you suddenly can't do what you said you were going to do and things. So,
so you find yourself coughing your guts up on the day.
Well, that too, kind of, yes.
Pandemic. Mm.
So, yes.
Being
that
organized
would, that
is
would
awesome.
Never happen.
No
pandemics.
No, it hasn't happened for hundreds of years. So, yeah. I'm already project management out for this evening. But
okay. Do you want to do a single bit of this? Can be like our fun segment at the end. It's
oh, hell yeah.
Is it like reverse bingo? Do you want to predict or say what you would like to see this turn out like right now at the start, and then people can laugh when it's nothing like it?
Okay, so the things which I know about it so far is that we're using AOS as like the setting, and AOS, if you're new to this, Age of Sigmar. Some people have run events called Dark Age of Sigmar. So for the bingo, I imagine that we'll probably have between 18 and 20 people actually turn up. Am I allowed to put a bet on turnout?
Sounds
that's
good.
That's really boring. I don't do it on turnout. And
I thought you would just start really high and say it was going to make us internet famous and we'll be invited to GWHQ as honored
guests.
That
was the ultimate. That was the ultimate thing. Yeah, I reckon we're going to have a White Dwarf article about this shit.
Okay, at least one.
until they go, so how did you come up with the rule set? And it'll be just like, well, we kind of hacked apart Mordheim and stuck it to Necromunda. I don't know what else I'm gonna say. I'm gonna reckon that there is gonna be no end to the narrative. I reckon no one reaches the end, and there will be at least 70% of the things which we planned never got unveiled.
I would agree that's likely. I mean, I've always felt that if you aim for the stars, then at least you might hit the moon, which is still pretty good going. I think when last one we ran had an AI system, and it was PvE, which is player versus environment. I don't know.
Enemy environment.
Enemy, yeah. I think for an event of the scale we're looking at, we're going to have to do player versus player, because it reduces admin by quite a large degree and makes the story kind of write itself. Which will be interesting, because, you know, adversarial storytelling is an odd one. And if someone goes in to win, they're going to ruin it for everyone.
Yeah, that's what I worry about. See, I still like the idea of having the option to punch the people who you're coming into encounters with.
But yes,
actually encounters are quite co-op driven almost. So I don't, you can't see behind me because this is audio, but Drew can see behind me at the stack of books behind me. And that is a mix of GW things, but also I've got Soulbound in there, which is AOS TTRPG. And I've got Tales from the Borderlands. That's a
terrible show, terrible game.
Five Leagues from the Five Leagues from the Borderlands, and
which is five parsecs from home, isn't it? It's the with bows version of that. Yeah,
yeah, and also Rangers of Shadowdeep as well.
Yeah.
And also Morkborg and things.
Oh,
as well.
Yeah, I do keep meaning to look at. I mean, we, the AI system, I think, had no flaws? Question mark. I think
no flaws. It was perfect.
It worked. Yeah,
we are living in Skynet now.
And I do keep meaning to write it up, which is, you know, if I'd actually been organised, I'd have written it up 2 years ago when everyone couldn't play with anyone else, and an AI gaming system would have been incredibly useful. But I didn't. So there we are.
But not to do you a disservice, like, it was a very good AI system, but it was also quite similar to some of the systems which we also saw in, well, Cursed City wasn't out at the time, but it was a little bit like Warhammer Questy as well. And that was, like, yes, one of our options when we were thinking about rule sets, was, like, just to get a flavour of, like, what people liked. And quite a lot of people chose the Warhammer Quest model, where you are adventurers and you are questing. So there is actually a chance of the games actually being people not bringing whole bands of people. It might be actually people bringing quite small amounts of models and then running, like, one powerful hero against quite a lot of Griblies, but then moving around to different tables and things.
This is going to be one that I think, because in my kind of rough ideas, I'd thought of, I've forgotten what it's called now, Frostgrave, where you have a big wizard and then lots of minions. And that came to mind. I was like, oh, I could do that. But then I remembered, and this is possibly a very, very deep cut, is at one point, maybe in the early 2000s, White Dwarf had rules for something, and it might have been Kill Team. It was certainly a Kill Team type game. But the idea was that you had one team was elite operatives, and the other team were basically normal stat line people. So you had,
like, movie Marines or something.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, it was something like it was that. Better. You know, it was like, you know, one lictor versus a load of crap orcs. And I might still have my White Dwarf of that. But the idea there, and the other thing is that when you do quite a lot of tournaments that do Lord of the Rings, have a requirement that you bring two armies, and you play a good army and a bad army, because that's and you know, you're matched up using your different armies each day. And I did ever wonder about that as well as an option, that, you know, talk about PvE or PvP, is that you go, actually, maybe you have to bring two warbands to the thing, and one of them's the, you know, actually quite shit Gribbles, and the other ones are your heroes and stuff. So yeah. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
But, well,
you know what? The surveys will tell us everything, of course.
Yeah. And the listeners to this can see how horribly, well, not horribly wrong, but how wrong we were in our first guesses.
Well, we'll see. It depends. You know, we might even be talking pre-event right now. I have no idea. So. But yeah, I'm excited, basically. It's that lovely excitement phase, and you want to kind of just keep hold of that for as long as possible before it becomes hard work, and then once it becomes hard work, remember how exciting it should be
yeah.
in the past. So maybe
very much so.
Maybe we'll just use this as self-help.
Yeah, if there's any episode that we talk about the missing episode and like the numbers don't line up, then the missing one will be the one where we just wig out and gripe about someone and it was so toxic we had to delete it and denial knowledge.
We haven't crossed that line yet.
Yeah, it's when it's one episode with just James and one episode of just me and we're just griping about each other as well. And
yeah, James versus Drew.
Yeah, we've gone proper Big Brother. We'll just edit it to make it sound really bad as well.
So, have a mediator involved.
Oh, I was thinking the opposite and have like some podcast producer making it sound as awful as possible to get the content out. The content must flow. What is better content than awful people being awful? Well, that's what the internet tells me anyway. So,
well, maybe we'll find our niche.
Excellent. All right, well, thanks, James. It's good to speak. And yeah, I guess at what point in the future this will episode two of this is going to be, or section two is going to be, we'll just have to see. But exciting times.
If there's a part two, we'll know that we've been at least semi-successful so far.
Yeah, that sounds good. Right, yeah. Thank you for joining James and myself, and we hope you'll join us next time on the Tiny Plastic People podcast. If you have any questions for us, you can reach us at thetinyplasticpeople@gmail.com. And if you want to see something of the event itself, James has produced a book about the event, which is available for download on thetinyplasticpeople.com. Cheerio, everyone, and thanks for listening.